These mission trips that Reinhardt people are on or are going on very nicely tie in with our text today from Colossians chapter 4. I want to read to you verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul is writing, he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should." I like how this message starts out, or this passage. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Isn't it interesting? If you look back at the beginning of the book of Colossians, you see that Paul starts his letter talking about prayer. And now we are nearing the end of his letter to Colossians, and again, he is talking about prayer. I want to ask you a question. Just how important is prayer for our Christian life? And you think about the answer to that. I'm sure we're all on the same page there. We understand that prayer is vitally important to our Christian life. I could ask you this question. How important is oxygen to our physical well-being? And you might say, duh, Kevin. It's very important. It's vitally important. There's no life without our being able to breathe. So too, there is no life spiritually if we don't take the time to pray to our Heavenly Father. Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer. It is the oxygen that we breathe spiritually. The word devote in the original language means to be steadfast towards something and give unremitting care to it. It means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent towards. To help us understand this word, and I know that we have a pretty good understanding of this word already, but think about some other things that we might be devoted to. If a person is devoted to exercising, they are in the gym regularly, aren't they? They are lifting those weights habitually. They are hitting the running track consistently. They are devoting themselves to exercising their body, and you can see the results of that pretty easily. Others, we could say this, are devoted to eating the right kinds of foods. They're watching their carbs and they're watching their sugar intake. Very careful of that. They say no to pop. And you put a coconut cream pie in front of them and somehow they resist that. They are devoted to their diet. Well, I'm devoted to my diet too. It's a seafood diet. You see it, you eat it. Then there's the person who is devoted to becoming a better musician. You know, we're very blessed here at Reinhardt to have some good musicians among us, and they are glad to share their talents with the Lord. Those talents happened over a period of time as they practiced their skills. For Cindy or Debbie or Marla with the piano, that didn't happen without a lot of practice. They sat down at those keys and they practiced their skills over a period of years. They were devoted to playing and learning that piano. Paul says, be devoted to prayer. Be steadfast in your praying. Be earnest towards your time in the prayer closet. Persevere. Be constantly diligent in your pursuit of God. And thankfully, He is easily found. We just turn to Him, and He is there, isn't He? We cry out to Him, and He hears us. We go to Him, and He opens His arms wide to us. Be devoted to prayer. If you're not already devoted to prayer, you can be. It's a decision that you make. It's a commitment that you say yes to. And as you do, it will change your life. You come alive spiritually when you devote yourselves to prayer. You grow your roots deeper into Him when you devote yourselves to prayer. And when those roots are deep into Him, then you are ready for the storms of life when they come, which they will. And you'll be able to endure through those storms. Some of you may have seen my wife's post on Facebook this last week. I'm not a Facebook person, but she showed it to me, and I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for the faith that she has in Jesus. I've told you this before. For 20 years now, Cindy has endured a lot of pain in her body due to a car accident 20 years ago. In fact, 20 years ago this last week. She was in a minivan, a Chrysler minivan that was ours, and she got tangled up with a semi-truck that was carrying a load of cars. And when you tangle a semi-truck with a vehicle a lot smaller than that, it's not a good situation. And it wasn't for her, certainly, that day. She got the worst of that. And I'm thankful to God that she survived, and our children too. But for 20 years, we have been asking God for His comfort and His healing in her body for 20 years. And 20 years is a long time to wait. I understand for God, it is a snap of His finger, just like that, and 20 years has passed. But for her and for me, it has been a very long road. It's been a tough road. But I tell you, we have been faithful in asking God for a miracle. We have been devoted to prayer, asking God for His mercy upon her. And I have to tell you, it seems like God has been granting that miracle. I am thrilled. And in fact, I told Cindy this last week, I've almost been hesitant to say anything, just holding my breath and hoping that it was for real. About a year ago, she started seeing a pain doctor in Kansas City, Dr. Wheeler. And over a series of several shots, a series of steroid shots that he's been giving her, it would help. It would help temporarily, and then the pain would come back. And he'd give her another series of shots, and it would help for a short while, and then the pain would come back. And he had said in that last series of shots, if this comes back again, I think it's time that we do an ablation in your back. And if you understand what an ablation is, it's a burning of the nerves that are causing the pain, or that is the source of the pain. And so that pain had come back, and they scheduled an ablation, two, 3 weeks ago. And she received almost immediate relief from her pain. And so we were waiting, and we were waiting, and hoping, and praying, and wondering, is this for real? And unless she overdoes it, and she does tend to do that, her pain level has gone from a 7 to 8, maybe a 9 at times, down to a 0 to 1, and maybe a 3 if she overdoes it. And we are shouting hallelujah to God over that. And we praise Him for His mercy. And if the pain comes back, we will shout hallelujah for the relief that she has had over this temporary period of time. But we're hoping it will be a good stretch. They say nerves do grow back together. But we're just giving it to God one day at a time. And we are thankful for the relief that she has had over these last few weeks. And she had a follow-up appointment with Dr. Wheeler this last Tuesday. And we were praising the Lord. He's a doctor. We like this, and I know you would like this too. When we are sitting in his office and he comes in, one of the first things he wants to do with us is pray with us. And he offers the prayer. And we like that. We like that. He's a believer too. Well, we've had this Tuesday appointment, this follow-up appointment, for 3 weeks since the ablation. In the meantime, you know, Cindy doesn't like doing things the easy route. In the meantime, she has been doctoring with her eye for 2 years with a specialist in Joplin. Her local eye doctor had seen a spot that concerned him, and he said, "We need to have you see a specialist." And she's been seeing that specialist for 2 years in Joplin. The first year, every few months, I think she saw her about 3 times in a year, and there was no change. And so a year ago, the doctor said, "I'm going to schedule you for one more appointment a year out. And if there's no change, then I'll let you go. I'll release you." And we fully anticipated the last appointment just a few weeks ago for that doctor to say, "Hey, everything's okay. Everything's the same. No change. I'm done with you. I don't need to see you again." That's what we fully expected to happen on that day, and that is not what happened. The doctor said, "Oh my, this spot has grown. You need to see a specialist in Kansas City." And I'm thinking, I thought you were the specialist. Except the specialist in Kansas City has the word surgeon along their title and the word oncology along their title. And we're going, "Oncology? Okay." And then his office starts using the word urgent. And then she talks to the Kansas City office, and they're using the word urgent. And so we're saying, "Okay, Lord, this is in your hands." And so Tuesday, as we rejoiced with Dr. Wheeler, we later had an appointment with this new doctor, and she examines Cindy, and she does all this testing, and then she sets us down, and she says, "This spot has grown, and I'm concerned, and there is a 75% chance that this is going to become cancer in the next year." And then she begins to tell us the route that would be taken, and it was not a pretty route to take. We don't want to take that route. Life is full of trouble and trials, says Job, chapter 14, verse 1. And that's not just true for us, it's true for you too. You know, if you don't have something going on right now in your life or family, count your blessings. But prepare yourself for the road ahead. It's liable to get bumpy, and it's good to know Him before the troubles come than to have to introduce yourself to Him after the troubles come. Devote yourselves to prayer. I love what Watchman Nee said about prayer. In case you don't know who Watchman Nee is, he was a great, great prayer warrior from China in the early to mid 1900s. So you say, how do you know him? I don't know him personally, but he has written a lot of books on the subject of prayer and faithfulness. He spent the latter part of his life in jail because of his faith, and that's where he died, apart from his family and those who loved him. And this is what he said about prayer in one of his books. Our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. Think about that. I wonder, are you, am I, laying down the rails for which God and his power can reach us? He has almighty power. There is no limit to his power. There is nothing greater than his power. And we have access to that. Watchman Nee says, lay down the rails through prayer that his power can make an impact on your life and the lives of others. I'm sure many of you will remember the story of Peter in Acts chapter 12, his escape from prison. You remember what the church was doing as he's in prison? They're praying. They're all in a prayer meeting. They're praying for God to intervene. And God's angel came and opened the door to the jail cell, and Peter's chains fell off. Consider this quote that I ran across just this week. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was the prayers of the church that fetched the angel. I like that. And so I want to challenge you to be devoted to prayer. And notice that verse continues on. Be watchful and thankful. That's from the New International Version. The New American Standard Bible talks about us needing to be alert. The New Living Translation talks about us needing to have an alert mind. The original language gets at just being awake. Being awake spiritually. Maybe physically too. How many of us in our prayer time have just fallen asleep? And we kind of plow our way through. This is I know about this, and maybe you do too. And Paul understands it. He says, be watchful, be on the alert, be awake in your praying. Don't become lax in your praying. Be vigilant in your praying. We don't want to be overcome by the evil one. You can be sure that the devil doesn't want you to be giving attention to prayer. He does not want you to be devoted to prayer. He does not want you to be alert in your praying. He wants you to be spiritually asleep. He wants you to be dead in your thinking and in your praying. And so, take note of verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's so much more to prayer than just asking God for things. Now, don't get me wrong. God invites us to ask Him. He wants us to ask Him. As a father would longs and desires for his children to ask Him for what they need or what they want. And every father likes to give to their children those things that they need, sometimes those things that they want. And God is that kind of father. I'm thinking God is as excited about healing Cindy as we are excited about Him healing her. But we have to know that there is more to prayer than just asking. In this text, Thanksgiving is mentioned. We should spend a lot of time in prayer just giving thanks. What's that old hymn say that we've sang through the years? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. We need to be a more thankful people. Amen? We have a lot to be thankful for. We ought to be able to just go one after the other, giving testimony of thanksgiving to God for what He has done for us. And speaking of testimony, how about some of you? I know there's been some of you who have taken advantage of this, but some of you who have not yet need to contact Cajun Bradley on Testimony Tuesday and just give a testimony of thanksgiving of what God has done for you. That would be a wonderful thing for you to do. Because Paul is saying that we need to be alert and watchful and full of thanksgiving as we are devoted to prayer. And take time to give praise to God too. And this could be a part of your Testimony Tuesday, whether it be thanksgiving or praise. What's the difference between the two? Thanksgiving is what He has done for me personally. And praise is who He is. God, I praise You for who You are. Your love, Your grace, Your goodness, Your holiness, Your power, Your mercy, Your patience, on and on. We can learn so much about thanksgiving and so much about praise just spending time in the book of Psalms. I think David learned about praise and he learned about thanksgiving. And so he's writing down his prayers. And a lot of that is praise and thanksgiving to God. I remember when I began to learn about praise as a young man. I was in my freshman year of college and attended a Change the World School of Prayer is what it was called. It was a weekend seminar at my home church, and they talked the whole weekend about praise to God. Really, I mean, that's the first time it began to sink in, my need to give praise to God. And I can point back to that time in my life when I began to devote myself to praise towards the Lord. My spiritual roots began to grow deeper and deeper and deeper into Jesus. And I fell in love with God like I had never experienced before. That's what can happen to us as we get deep into thanksgiving and praise and prayer to God. And certainly He is deserving of all the praise that we can give to Him. But there's something else we need to be prayerful about. Paul invited his readers to pray for an open door for the gospel to be preached and that he could speak the gospel with clarity. Might I remind you where Paul is writing this letter from? He's writing this letter from a jail cell. And it was not a pleasant place for him to be. It was not a vacation land. It was very unlike our prison cells today, where maybe they might have air conditioning during the summer and heating during the winter. There was no such comfort in that jail cell that Paul was sitting in. And I am quite sure the sanitary conditions were terrible. And probably the food was nothing to write home about. If it was bread and water, that was good for Paul. You know what? If I'm Paul and I'm writing to my friends from a jail cell such as that, you know what I'd be saying to them? Get me out of here. Help me. This is a rat hole. This is a hell hole. Get me out of here, please. Do everything you can to help me. From Paul's pen, we don't see anything of that nature. I've read through the four prison epistles this week, just looking at the content. Do you know what the four prison epistles are? They're all four written by Paul: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those are the four prison epistles. They all four were written from a jail cell. And nowhere do I find him asking for his readers to pray that he would be released from jail. Instead, he's saying, pray that God might open a door for the gospel to be preached, and pray that it would be preached with clarity. Oh my. Oh my, what a request from the dungeon. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. This is more of the nature of what I read Paul writing to his recipients. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 19 and 20. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Paul was all about the gospel. He was all about the kingdom of God going forward. And if that could better happen by him being in jail, then he's willing to suffer for Christ's sake. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. He wrote that from a jail cell. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That from a jail cell. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was written from a jail cell. I'm okay with being in jail if the gospel is being preached by other people in a greater way. He wrote that from a jail cell. He was all about the kingdom and the gospel going forward. And I'm wondering if we could take some steps in that direction to be more about his kingdom than our kingdom. What if we prayed more about an open door for the gospel to be preached with clarity? I have to admit to you, that's a prayer I need to pray more of. I was reading a sermon online that had to do with this passage of scripture from Colossians, and the preacher was talking about being rooted into the mission of Jesus. Now, that caught my attention because, as you know, our theme for 23 has been rooted. And so here's another preacher that is preaching about being rooted. This time he's preaching about being rooted into the mission of Jesus, and it's based on these verses out of Colossians chapter 4. And so I had Mallory print that sermon off for me, and I would look at it and try and soak in what he was saying to me. And so for the next 3 weeks, including today, you're going to hear a challenge on being rooted into the mission of Jesus. This mission of reaching the world. That's what's on his heart. That's what's on his mind, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what was on Paul's mind too, because what Jesus is about, Paul was about. And that's what we should be about too. And if we are indeed interested in being rooted into the mission of Jesus, then number one, we're going to pray for an open door for the gospel, that the gospel can be preached with clarity. That's today's sermon. The next 2 weeks, Elijah is going to he's going to finish this out. Point two and point three, taking us through the end of Colossians chapter 4. And I'm not going to tell you what point two and point three is. You'll just have to come back. Would you next Saturday night, and I'm not asking you just to pray only on Saturday night, but would you, over these days ahead as I'm going on this trip to Africa, would you pray for me to have an open door to preach the gospel with clarity? And would you pray for Claire and Cooper and Riley as they're in Cambodia to have an open door to preach the gospel with clarity? And would you pray that we together would have an open door in Vernon County and Bates County and over in Kansas, Bourbon and Linn counties, that we would have an open door to preach the gospel with clarity? Because I'm thinking in those four counties, there's just a few people that need Jesus, wouldn't you say? There's just a few that need Jesus. And we have him. We have him, thankfully. But we need to share him. We need to have some boldness. We need to have an open door, and we need to have clarity in our communication. We get so caught up in the things that don't matter for eternity, and I'm guilty of that as much as the next person is. And today we are reminded that there are just a few things that matter in light of eternity. And certainly on that list of a few things that matter is who is saved and who's not saved. And so, Lord, would you please give us right here at Reinhardt an open door to speak the gospel, and would you help us to speak the gospel with boldness and with clarity.